I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. But before we get into the heart of the topics, I'd like to give my normal disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. Now, I realize that there are a lot of new listeners to ET Yoga, so I wanted to generally let people know that we'll be giving a lot of information about the Alpha Draconians and the Patal and our founders of this universe during this program. But I'd also like to spend a little bit of time getting new listeners kind of caught up with what ET Yoga is all about. Of course, the name ET and Yoga is kind of a contradiction for some people because they wonder how anybody can do yoga on radio. Well, that's because in the Western world, yoga became synonymous with the hatha yoga, which were the yoga asanas, when in point of fact, the word yoga means union of you and your higher self. And much of the yogic traditions, of course, are geared toward assisting the practitioners to attain a state of enlightenment. And the combination of ET and yoga came about because during my own personal experiences and my teachers, Sri Swami Sachidananda and Paramahansa Yogananda, among those, most prominent ones, were two of the most widely known yoga masters on the planet. And what I found during a period of about 30 years was that there's just a ton of information out there channeled from extraterrestrial sources that included some very self-empowering ideas, concepts, techniques, and I really felt that it enhanced the yogic teachings, and also in the area of our extraterrestrial heritage. And of course, some of the foundation concepts for ET Yoga basically center around belief and belief systems. And we do know from the current quantum physics experiments that they have kind of narrowed things down a bit to point out that the universe as we know it, holographic in nature, operates much like a giant computer program. And that, in point of fact, the energy is about consciousness, and the language of recognition of this giant computer program is belief. And of course, the most common analogy to that in our practical daily experiences comes from the field of medicine, where where you become familiar with the placebo effect, where a sugar pill seemingly that should have no positive effect can, purely because of the beliefs of the users. And unfortunately, this concept hasn't been expanded to a lot of other areas of our lives, and it's not just true in the area of medicine, but it's true in every single area that we are involved with on this planet. As well as at the center of the whole ideas about ET yoga, which center around belief systems, kind of the teachings of Bashar. And if you're not familiar with Bashar, Bashar is an entity from the Sasani civilization channeled by Daryl Anka. His website's www.bashar.org. And I call Bashar's teachings kind of like the Big Four. And in kind of summary of those concepts, the first one being that your definitions, your thoughts, emotions, basically form a mirror image of your experience in this reality. And that second, that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings. We place definitions and emotional spin on outer circumstances and create a positive or negative experience based on them. Another concept being that we have the ability to place a positive spin on outer circumstances intentionally to actually do reality creation. And another of the key concepts of Bashar's, what I call the Big Four, he doesn't call it that, is the concept about the emotional center in the heart, or the neural center in the heart, and putting out an energy field that we all do that's actually 5,000 times stronger than the magnetic impact of the brain waves. And a very important concept here, because obviously what we put out, we get back. And so naturally, this law of attraction comes to play in this whole concept or philosophy of dealing with our current existence on the planet. So much of the information that we share on ET Yoga has to do with providing our listeners with self-empowering ideas, concepts, techniques to actually utilize in our daily lives. And thus, as well, the website at www.etyoga.com contains a myriad of information that's related to self-empowering concepts. And it even includes things such as pranayams or yogic breathing that's taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda, concepts about meditation, certain techniques such as the pillar of light taught by the Pleiadians, also techniques from the yogic master Sri Ramana Maharshi, the Who Am I technique, as well as Merkaba techniques of meditation. And all these things can be found at the site. Lots of information, articles, some related to health and healing. In fact, the title at the website is called Healing the Known and the Unknown. And I certainly recommend to people following a spiritual path to take a real good look at their health situation, and they may find, as I have and many of my friends have found, that the best course is to try to be involved with that natural healing methods and to try to distance ourselves as much as humanly possible from mainstream medical. Now, with respect to tonight's program. There's been a history of that goes back thousands and thousands of years with respect to the humans and the Alfred Draconians having issues. And I thought it would be pertinent to include some information from the founders as well, and giving some perspective on some of our extraterrestrial history. ET Yoga does not really expect from the listeners a belief in extraterrestrials, although probably most of our regular listeners do have that belief. I think we're similar in that concept to Bashar and Daryl Anka. Daryl doesn't spend any time trying to prove that Bashar is an extraterrestrial, because the point is really the information. And the point on ET Yoga is really the information as well. From time to time, we will cover some things that aren't necessarily a practical daily technique or a practice or a concept, such as much of the information on tonight's program. And we certainly would suggest our listeners to use discernment whenever they're listening to any broadcast concerning information. Certainly, there's a lot of disinformation on the Internet. As a general starting point, in my studies, I started with way back a long time ago with UFO from the Pleiades, the Billy Meyer story, then progressed to Barbara Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn, also her book on self-empowerment. And I also refer many times to Patricia Corey's book, No More Secrets, No More Lies. And I typically tend to stick to information that's Pleiadian in nature, Andromedan, Sirian, of course, Bashar Esasani, and Arcturian as a general core group of sources of an extraterrestrial nature. And of course, many times when we see on the Internet supposed information coming from even these groups, sometimes it's not accurate. So discernment is always the key dealing with new information. I'm going to begin tonight with some information that actually came from the Andromedan contactee, Alex Collier. And when he's talking about the Alpha Draconians, he refers to them as a reptilian race composed of master geneticists who tinker with life and which, from their perspective, exist as a natural resource. And this information comes from the Andromedans, that the Draconians look at life forms which they have created or altered as a natural resource. And apparently, the Alpha Draconians created the primate race, which first was brought to Mars and then to Earth. And according to Andromedans, the primate race was then tinkered with by many other different races, resulting in the primate race having been altered or modified about 22 times. The primate race eventually became Homo sapiens, and who we are on a physical level. And from what I can piece together, that probably it was the Anunnaki who made the last tinkering. And we used to have 12 strands of DNA. 10 strands were taken out by a group from the Orion in order to control us and hold us back. And why would they want to hold us back? Well, the reason the Orion group wanted to hold us back was because they found out who we were on a soul level. And according to the Andromedans, we humans are part of a group of energies that they know as the Patal. And the reason the Andromedans use the word Patal, which is, by the way, a Draconian word, is because the Draconians have legends about warring with a race that was creating human life forms that were opposed to the draconian philosophy. The Patal created life forms that could evolve on their own with free expression, and the draconians, on the other hand, created races to function as a natural resource for their own pleasure. Now, in our galaxy, there are many councils, and the Andromedan Council is a group of beings from 139 different star systems that come together and discuss what's going on in the galaxy. And it's not a political body. They've been discussing, actually, a tyranny in our future about 357 years from now, because that affects everybody. Apparently, what they have done through time travel is to figure out where the significant shift in energy occurred that causes the tyranny 357 years in our future. And they have traced it back to our solar system, and they have further been able to track it down to Earth, Earth's moon, and Mars. Now, one of the meetings of the Andromedan Council, the topic was whether or not to directly intervene with what was going on here. And just short of half the members actually wanted nothing to do with us at all, and the reason being that from their perspective, Earth humans don't respect themselves, each other, or the planet. And so what possibly can be the value of Earth humans? Fortunately, the majority of the council gave the opinion that because Earth has been manipulated for over 5,700 years, that we deserve an opportunity to prove ourselves, to at least have a shot at proving the other part of the council wrong. So they passed a directive that all extraterrestrial presence will be off the planet. Now, they want to see how we will act when we are not being manipulated. Now, Alex Collier's first suggestion is to throw your television set away. An interesting point, because it's also a very key point for those who are familiar with the Barbara Marciniak book, Bringers of the Dawn. And I kind of call that classic extraterrestrial text, kind of like in yogic terms I would call Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, the classic yogic text. And this whole pointing fingers at television is quite a big deal from the extraterrestrial point of view. And he maintains that they're teaching you what to think, not how to think. And if you give that up, you become a robot. You become sheeple. And the Palladians concur that all the new technology is basically about frequency control. And according to the Andromedans, back about 2000, they were living inside our planet, 100 to 200 miles under the surface, about 1,837 reptilians, who have been here a very, very long time. And there were also about 18,000 gray clones inside the Earth and on the Moon. And most of the original grays are in Phobos, one of the moons of Mars, which is an artificial satellite. Now, from what I understand, there has been actually divine intervention by Prime Creator in this whole situation, as these forces actually plan to take over the galaxy and control from Prime Creator. And I have no idea what the current status is, but it appears that those in control of humans on the Earth have lost their support bases, and those assisting Earth have won a war over the Alpha Draconians. Now, regarding our ancient heritage, it was decided that the human race was to be created in the Lyra system, and the human race lived there for approximately 40 million years. The orientation of the human race in Lyra was agricultural in nature, and apparently we were very plentiful and abundant and lived in peace. Then one day a huge craft appeared in the sky. The craft approached the planet Dilla, and reptilians from Alpha Draconis disembarked. The Alpha Draconians were the first race in our galaxy to have interstellar space travel. And due to some miscommunication or some issues that resulted or were not resolved, the Dicronians actually destroyed 3 of the 14 planets in the Lyran system, killing over 50 million Lyran humans. And it was at this point in history that the Dicronians began to look at humans as a food source. And this is how old the struggle is between the reptilians and the human races. And Collier also does make a point that all the reptilians are not dark. But I think it's an interesting kind of a story, if you like, or it's factual from at least from the perspective of many people that concur with this ancient problem between the reptilians and the humans. And the ancient Patal are also called the founders. And apparently they no longer exist in the material realm. And according to the Andromedans, there is no trace of them at all in third dimension. But after the disappearance of the founders in third dimension, there then started to appear humans and reptilians. Now, the Nerubians give even a further insight into beyond that, which we'll get to in a few minutes. According to the Andromedans, some have actually reincarnated on Earth in human form. And they create star systems from scratch, and they're responsible for creating the original human race from Lyra. And most of the Patal live currently in 12th density. Now, another interesting source of information is Sal Rachelle, and that's R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E. And he actually has a channeling from the founders, and I'm going to quote from his channeling. They state that this universe you find yourselves in began about 20 billion years ago as a point of light within the mind of God. This point of light was contained within a greater point of light, which was contained within a greater point, etc., into infinity. And this is an aspect of the Godhead that has always existed and that expands and contracts an infinite number of times. All of life is continually expanding and contracting, much like the device you look through with the colored glass, the kaleidoscope. And during the expansion phase, the Godhead differentiated itself into units of consciousness, which later became known as souls. These original souls, called the founders, are what we represent to you. We were the original sparks of light that were showered out from the infinite source during the expansion. And at some point in the distorted time-space continuum, we decided to insert a tiny part of ourselves into the evolving worlds in order to experience them more directly. And to do this, we created a multitude of energy patterns, precursors to what you would call the DNA molecule. You would call these precursors light packets of conscious energy. And these light packets were able to descend in vibration down to what you would call the 9th to 10th density. At that point, we were able to create intricate configurations of light codes, which you now call DNA keys. And these DNA keys were the actual building blocks of life as you know it. We then densified these keys down to what you call 7th density, the first level of the actual DNA codes. And we scattered our seed throughout the universe, going to many regions of the ever-expanding galactic clusters. And as the clusters differentiated further into individual galaxies, we began the process described and incarnated into several regions of each galaxy. your galaxy, the one you call the Milky Way, was seated in several quadrants. Your quadrant began in what you call the Lyra Vega region. It is here that the first seventh density forms were manifested through manipulating and permutating the DNA codes. Now, it took them nearly 900 million years to perfect this process, and it's only within the last 100 million years that we were able to create life forms in all the densities down to third density. The process of differentiation is difficult for most Earth souls to comprehend. The best analogy we can give is that of cellular division. Each cell that divides from a parent cell becomes an individual cell in its own right, just as powerful and creative as the parent cell. Each 3D, 4D, 5D, 6D, and 7D being that fragmented off from our parent selves, our 12th density self, became a sovereign being or whole and complete soul as it grew and evolved through time and space. And at the same time, each fragment, as it becomes aware of its higher aspects, is able to align or connect with those higher aspects and thereby remember what the state of undifferentiated source energy is like. In essence, each fragment of ourselves is intimately connected to our core, and our core is intimately connected to the Godhead. That's a quote from Sal Rochelle channeling the founders themselves. Now, another interesting guy I find is Dan Winter. And according to Dan Winter, John Dee was the first one to introduce us to speaking to the angels. And he introduced us to the language angels speak, the angelic alphabet, basically the Stargate alphabet. And the Enochian alphabet are the symbols used for the movie and TV series Stargate SG-1. Now, I know it seems kind of strange in America that a lot of people don't seem to know about Stargate SG-1. I first saw this when I did a stint of about 5 years in Europe, and I was over at a relative's eating dinner, and this program came on, and I was just totally intrigued by it. Like, wow, what is this show? Like, where is it coming from? And by the way, I'm a person that I don't have a TV. I kind of try to practice what I preach on that one. But I caught this show, and eventually I now have purchased the entire SG-1 CD package. I think it was about $100, but I watched the shows on the computer, on the discs. An amazing program. If you've never seen it or heard about it, there is a, I think there's called Stargate Atlantis was the sequel, but I couldn't connect or resonate with any of that. But the SG-1, Stargate SG-1, is just a phenomenal program. It gives lots of information that's either actually true or with a little bit of thought and imagination, you can kind of put the puzzle pieces together. Absolutely, totally recommend it if you haven't heard of it or seen about Stargate SG-1. That's a beauty. And apparently this language, this Enochian alphabet, is just phenomenal. And if you look on Dan Winter's site, you can actually see like a 7x7 grid where names of some of the archangels appear because of the arrangement of the alphabet. And this alphabet became the Orphanium Cherokee alphabet, and it also became the Tablet of Thoth, which is now known as the Emerald Tablet. And the superset of original Bible letter form was the Orphanium, or Enochian alphabet, and the symbols on the Stargate being the hypercube superset of Anunnaki Tetra. to solve the implosion and time-sustaining and soul problem, but it requires feeling. That's according to Dan Winter. And the letters of the Ophanum alphabet were also arranged in a table. It's called the Tablet of Nalvage. That's N-A-L-V-A-G-E. And using the Greek alphabet, gematria, which was letter to numeric values, revealing the hypercube symmetry. And you can also see then reading down in the Ophanum alphabet tables like tic-tac-toe, they discovered that the letters read Uriel, Gabriel, Michael, Ophaniel, Ezekiel, etc. So this suggests, according to Dan, that our angel names were simply symmetry turn instructions for how to cookie-cut biology's magnetics into black holes. An interesting find. And according to Winter, the philosophy of the two branches, the two royal families, a.k.a. the House of Avion and the House of Aln of the Central Galactic Core Cultures, which administrates the propagation of DNA across the galactic spaces, became the Christian War in Heaven. And according to him, when the Anunnaki Enki said, "Hey, Dad, I can genetically modify some local apes to be gold mining slaves to feed our Holy Communion spice, white gold powder, then life-threatening addiction," since the Anunnaki staff cared expensively and they carved extensively into the earth and to obtain this white powder gold. And Enlil was absolutely incensed that his dad gave Enki permission, since Enlil was a rule follower. And the galactic rules were clear and correct, that if you interfere with indigenous gene pools ending their freedom, the skill or gift of star navigating or bending gravity with ensouled impulsive DNA will be lost. But Dad Enki was willing to risk this intervention in the Prime Directive because he felt his bloodline was doomed without the gold powder so abundant on Earth because of her self-embedded relationship to the gravity winds. So this is what sent them scrambling for gold on Earth in the first place, gold to fix their home atmosphere, as Stitchin correctly interprets, and gold to eat, as Stitchin seemingly is afraid to admit, according to Dan Winter. Now, we need to recognize that most of the human gene pool was conceived out of a genetic engineering urge to fix a genetic disaster. The fall of the Nephilim is the loss of implosive ensoulment in the URU blood. The gold powder addiction produces a parasitic, technologically immortal, but astral prison, and no self-created gland juice. There's no accelerator. So the reason Enki needed the ape ego was specifically because their family had lost the glandular capability to free passion, something in Earth's ape ancestors they much envied. And according to Winter, today, your government's media world controller are genetically breeding our children to end the possibility of passion if we let them. And he's basically saying that how they're doing this is through the vehicles of media, medicine, food additives, and vaccinations. So I think it's worthwhile to kind of note that media certainly connects with television, what we're seeing in medicine today with respect to pharmaceutical pills and drugs, as well as these food additives, and certainly the new rage of experimentation with vaccines. Interesting as the methods used to try to take the passion out of our children. And the practice of, let's say, scientific hygiene for bliss to ignite our genes and aura to blue fire is the story called The Seventh Seal. And it has to do with the seventh spin symmetry of the tetra, which from the sound of the heart in bliss braids the DNA thickly, and finally on the seventh recursive braid, bending Mobus back into itself. So kind of like going back to the King Arthur idea of whom does the Grail serve? Well, it serves itself into the king or the lord. And the secret to Enki and this story is how he learned from his mother how to tie the slip knot, because it is this symmetry secret that he, under the later guise of a Tutankhamun, learned how to ensoul DNA and bring people back from the dead, and that's called the Lazarus effect. And the angles of this slip knot are more than alphabet. They are the cookbook for starting the fire of life. And Enki, catching the torch of a mysterious Patal DNA, clearly decided to slip a Mickey or put a bullet into the furnace for all the his family rule breakers, because basically, apparently what he did is he slipped some Patal DNA into the human experiment. And, of course, we are the current benefactors of that situation. Now, the House of Alm began in the Orion constellation, and the original members of the House of Alm were known as the Carrions. This information comes actually from the Niberian Council. It goes a little bit deeper than where the Andromedans kind of take their history to, at least what they communicated to Alex Collier. They're basically saying that these carrions had physical bodies that resembled humans with wings, feathers, and beaks. And the ruling class of the carrions originally resembled our eagle, and some were as big as pterodactyls or as small as hummingbirds. And the carrions came from the same universe as the felines of the House of Avion. And due to the fact that the birds evolved before the mammals in the evolutionary timeline, the carrions were actually more evolved race than the felines for a long time. And there were 45 carrions that arrived by invitation from the founders to begin the game of universal polarity integration. And eventually the House of Alm established themselves on a neighboring planet in the Lyran constellation in order to begin the first grand experiment of integration, the first Earth, Avion. And both houses intermarried to create alliances as part of the grand experiment. This is all according to the Nairobians now. And the Carrions created the race of beings known as the Reptilians while still in the Orion constellation before the start of the first grand experiment of integration. And the House of Avion originated on the first Earth. At the time, it consisted of people whose physical form was feline. These felines arrived in the Lyra constellation from another universe that had recently completed itself and its universal game. And in that universe, the game was the same one chosen for this universe. It's called by the name Polarity Integration. And the felines were invited here by the founders of this universe. They say the founders are a council of 12 beings who have come together to create their own universe and game. And they are souls that have completed more than one universal game in other places. And when we say game, we mean that in the highest sense of the word. And the 45 felines began a dynasty which became known as the Royal House of Avion. And it was through the individuals, these individuals, that the first humans were created. Crossbreeding with one of the indigenous bipedal mammals on the planet, they began a program of developing a new species. The first Earth, like the second and our present third Earth, have developed the human species from the DNA of another race. On the first Earth, it was the felines. On the third Earth, our Earth, it was a combination of feline, carrion, reptilian, and human DNA. The human DNA came from Avion in the Pleiades, which was the second Earth. According to the Nairobians, a personage called Devon is the current patriarch of the 9D House of Avion, and they live on the starship Pelagi. And according to them, Jehovah is the current ruling patriarch of the 9D Royal House of Aln, and Enki is the reigning patriarch of the 5D House of Aln at this time. And until recently, Marduk, Enki's firstborn son, was the current commander of the Federation flagship Nibiru, having seized control from his grandfather, Anu. So what we kind of get here in a nutshell is that eons ago, during this fascinating experience called life in universe, there have been lots of issues between the Alpha Draconians and the humans. And in fact, the galactic question put up by the Andromedans was that what are the value of Earth humans? Because it's hard to tell, because the way that we've been manipulated, they say, for at least the last 5,700 years. And interesting to note that for the most part, this all this manipulating has been done without the conscious knowledge of the population. And also, thus, I think a reason why many concepts around extraterrestrials used to be ridiculed. The whole concept of UFOs was the tinfoil hat people believed in them. But what we're seeing is certainly a vast majority of the population now not only believe in extraterrestrial life, but believe that it's in point of fact visiting us, and visiting us often and in many different types and different civilizations. From what I can make out, for the most part, the general consensus is that probably Earth humans are capable of handling the news of extraterrestrial existence, but apparently one of the problems of making this public at this time is the fact that some of these extraterrestrial entities are actually they find Earth humans an attractive meal. So it's kind of, that's a tough one for, I think, Earth humans to swallow. And especially those who have been most in control of the planet for a long, long time. In fact, apparently they were even the first ones to actually land here. An amazing story. Nothing could be more fascinating than the truth. You couldn't make up such an amazing story as life on planet Earth. And as Bashar would say, this is kind of like the getting your master's degree, life on Earth, and being able to deal with all the situations and all the influences going on here. So I wanted to at least touch upon some of these concepts, because both Dan Winter, Sal Rochelle, Alex Collier, the Pleiadian information, Andromedan information seems to be pretty much all concurring, as well as The initial information that I got about life of humanity coming from the Lyra Vega star systems from the book UFO from the Pleiades, which I'm sure is out of print now, but came out about, I think it was in the mid-70s. And that's the whole Billy Meyer story. And a very, very, very interesting story for sure. Lots of specific quotes in that book that made me resonate with it as being a legitimate experience from Billy's perspective. And I'm sure each of us has our own experience with respect to some form of contact with the extraterrestrial life, even if it be in the dream state, because I think a lot of us are being assisted in dream time with evolving and progressing and healing certain issues from that perspective. And as Bashar would say, he gives a kind of a really interesting story. Apparently, he had made arrangements to meet some humans, actually, with his spacecraft. And each time that he approached them, they ran like heck for the hills. And it wasn't so much that, according to Bashar, that they were afraid of the extraterrestrials. It was just their own fears that came to the surface. And as he would say, that it's a lot less intimidating to listen to a tape or go to a show or a theater and watch information about extraterrestrials than it is to actually be around the energy and to see what that brings up in people. Now, with respect to a first contact scenario, personally, I don't know anybody on the planet that's able to really predict the future with much accuracy. We seem to be creating things as we go along. But Bashar does have a kind of a general timeline about a first contact scenario. A few years back, actually, I was involved with a group that included Daryl Anka. We actually came up with the Extraterrestrial Contact Act because of the punitive nature of the existing one. And maybe in time this will come up again at the appropriate time. But if you're interested, you can find out more information about that. I've actually done an ET yoga show and gone through some of the key points of the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act. And as part of that committee, actually, there was there were several people on the committee that were very knowledgeable about certain aspects of Anunnaki history and the whole idea of a first contact scenario, because I think at some point we know that first contact, at least what will be called first contact, it's going to be kind of like Columbus discovering America that was discovered long before by several other groups, but he kind of got credit for being the first one to discover it. And at some point in time, there'll be some kind of an open contact public announcement. When that's going to be, well, here's a guess. I don't know if it's a guess, but Bashar says by 2033 that we should be, at the way the energy is progressing right now, we should be members of the Association of Worlds. So we're talking, that's only, 19 years away. Sometime before that, according to Bashar, actually, the Sasani have a name for the first people to contact Earth, and he calls them the Shalanaya. And the Shalanaya mean those who will come first. It turns out that the Shalanaya call themselves the Yael, and the whole phenomenon that's known as the Phoenix Lights, according to Bashar, This was a craft about a mile long, wedge-shaped, that flew over the entire state of Arizona, seen by thousands of people from different perspectives. And that they are actually, obviously, they're already here. Now, there's also a couple of websites on the Internet talking about connecting some of the hybrid children that were created from the abduction scenarios with the grays and humans. And apparently the Yeller have some role to play with respect to connecting some of these hybrid kids with their Earth parents. And that process is happening. From what I understand from that, they say that in about 10 years there'll be some kind of a public announcement about that. But in the meantime, it's sort of like on a individual basis. There are some people that are making connections and contacts and making some connections with their offspring. Very interesting topic. But so according, if that timeline is correct, then 10 years from now would be, pushing only another 9 years before we're members of the Association of Worlds. Somewhere in that time frame is going to be up first contact, public contact announcement. Should be a fascinating event for the planet. It would seem fairly obvious that there would be brought forth some new forms of technology. Certainly we have amazing technologies already that haven't been brought out of the suitcase yet, and whatever they can assist with and bring it to the table, as well as connecting us in many ways with our extraterrestrial heritage, a first-hand, let's say, account from an actual in-your-face extraterrestrial would probably have a lot of weight. Interesting stuff. In fact, along those lines, on the next ET yoga show, we're going to be doing a big piece on the Romanian find in Buzej of a holographic history of Earth. And at this point in time, I'd like to wish everyone my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And before we're off the air, I'd like to now share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity. And it returns, but a little faster now. and faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.